You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Sunday. Again, it's like Groundhog Day. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team every day, so or at least on Sunday. I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. We are finishing out the summer preview. Well, we're still not finishing it out. We still have special teams. So we'll still cover special teams. That one might not be a whole episode. It'll probably be because I just don't feel like I can talk about special teams for 20 minutes. I just don't. Maybe I can. Maybe we'll try it. We'll start it. We'll figure it out. But we are going to do, that's what I thought about the secondary. I was like, I don't think I can talk about the safeties for 20 minutes. And then I did. And then I struggled to talk about the defensive line for whatever reason for 20 minutes. And yet I could talk about the safeties for 20 minutes. Well, now we've got the cornerbacks today. And that is a position group that I feel so much better about than I did 2 years ago. And what's a shame is, you know what? I don't begrudge anyone for leaving. I'm always a big fan of like, hey, you go get yours. You know, I've been very big advocate, but again, I stand by the Dan Mullen. I know he didn't work out of Florida, but his whole, hey, if you're a third round pick, or better, then go. If you're not, then stay. And, you know, Michigan lost two players on defense that went undrafted that didn't have to go. And one of those is Vincent Gray. Vincent Gray, I thought was really finally starting to really kind of come into his own last year. I thought he played pretty well. But he departs. Hey, that makes room for some others. And who's going to start is a question that I don't have a definitive answer to. Who do I think is going to start is different than who actually is. The only one that I can say with a pretty near degree of certainty is going to be a starter. And when I say near degree, I'm saying 99.9%, barring something insane. DJ Turner is one of your starters at corner. And I think that he really earned it. And he really just, last year was the first year you finally really got to see him play at corner. I mean, he played a tiny, tiny bit in 2020. But 2021, when he finally got that opportunity, I believe it was from the Indiana game forward, he just didn't relinquish it. He made the best of his opportunity. And he has the look of being that next great Michigan cornerback. Again, like kind of across the defense, I think linebacker being somewhat the only exclusion. But at the same time, Michigan's had put linebackers into the league like Devin Bush in the 2019 NFL draft. Round one, they've put linebackers into the NFL. But overall, it's like cornerback has been very impressive. Maybe not as impressive as defensive end, which has tended to be first round types. But you've got multiple guys in the Jim Harbaugh era who are playing corner at the next level. Jordan Lewis, still with the Dallas Cowboys. Channing Stribling getting another opportunity now that he's kind of bounced around from NFL practice squads to every startup league you can think of under the sun. He's just gone out and just made plays, most recently in the USFL, and now he's getting a shot with the Washington Commanders. Jeremy Clark got drafted despite his injury. David Long got drafted. LaVert Hill's on a practice squad. You know, they've continued to kind of churn guys out at cornerback. And Brandon Watson stuck in the NFL. Brandon Rusnacki goes by now. So corner has been a quietly good position group for Michigan. And I think that they've got DJ Turner has that capability of being that next great Michigan corner. So I'm excited to see what he's able to do, because I think that he's got what it takes to be an All-American type. And I know that that's not usually what's going to be heaped on Michigan for whatever reason. Like every other team seems to get those types of distinctions. Ohio State be like, well, this guy's never played football before, but we think he's going to be, you know, that's how it tends to go down there. But I really like what DJ Turner brings to the table. Now, the opposite corner is the big question, because there's multiple guys that could be potential starters, but I'm looking at two in particular. One has been a starter, was the starter before his injury, and that's Jamon Green. Jamon Green, we've seen have the capability. We've seen him really have solid, strong games after kind of a rough start in 2020. I thought he was overall solid last year. Let's see what PFF has to say about last year compared to what I think. But Jamon Green is a guy who I feel like, I mean, he's got the height. He seems to have mostly decent instincts. PFF thought he had a really good game in every game except for against Michigan State last year. 74.1 overall defensive grade, coverage grade of 72.4, Michigan State being the outlier. So again, they continue to agree with me. It wasn't nearly as strong of a start, but really kind of came through in some of the games that mattered. Wisconsin, Nebraska, Ohio State, Iowa, Georgia actually had a decent game against Georgia. He would be one that I would have my eye on, but I'm not sold that he's necessarily going to be the starter, in part because it doesn't sound like he had as good of a spring as Mike Samrestil, wide receiver, who, again, I always feel like I have to remind, he was a cornerback coming out of high school. Like, he was committed to Virginia Tech as a cornerback, and I think that it's, I mean, it sounds like it's gone beyond just the hyperbole. Now, we'll find out, but I mean, we saw in the spring game, he looked pretty good at corner. I'm old enough to remember when Ben Mason switched to the 3-tech, and they were just raving about him in spring and in fall camp, and we see it in practice and against Middle Tennessee, and it's very what, you know? I don't think that's going to be the case for Mike Samrestil. I think it's a little bit different because he knows as a wide receiver, you're going skill position to skill position is a little bit different than going from fullback / tight end to defensive tackle. I think that when you have the ability, like I think most wide receivers could probably play corner to some degree. And I think Mike Samrestil is certainly no exception to that, because I think a lot of wide receivers play corner in high school like he did, and it just translates really well, especially if you just kind of have a good understanding of the fundamentals of offense. This is the reason why Josh Gattis was an offensive coordinator after being a safety at Wake Forest, you know? So, or wide receivers coach after being a safety, you know, all of that stuff. So really it's those three, but there's obviously the guy that you can't imagine is going to be kept off the field that could usurp all of it. We'll get to him momentarily, because you know who I'm talking about. Listen, for the people who invented Healthy and Tasty, comes the latest gift to your taste buds. You've probably tried the amazing coconut brownie chunk Built Bar, but guess what? And that's my favorite Built Bar, by the way. Your friends at Built have given coconut brownie chunk the puffs treatment. That's right. The coconut brownie chunk Built Bar flavor you love in a deliciously chewy marshmallow covered in 100% real chocolate. It's like a fluffy cloud of coconut brownie goodness. But stop drooling and listen. They are good for you. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and all delicious. I really go for one right now. Wasn't he sitting here talking to you? Coconut Brownie Chunk Puffs are only here for a limited time. You go to Built.com now to make sure you don't miss out. They are going fast because they taste amazing. All Built Bars are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. Eat something that tastes good and is good for you. The best part about Built Puffs is, of course, they taste amazing, but you can enjoy them guilt-free because they're actually good for you. They're the perfect treat, perfect for when you are getting a craving, which is, see, I gain weight personally when I run out of Built Bars, because then I'm like, oh, I need that deliciousness, and I go and grab everything not good. I lose weight when I listen, or not listen, I eat Built Bar. It's true. I don't remember where I left off here, but anyway, delicious coconut, rich, sweet brownie, creamy marshmallow. Stop fantasizing. Get to Built.com to order your box of coconut brownie chunk Built Puffs right now. Go to Built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off of your next order. That's promo code LOCK15 at built.com. All right, you know that there's another player that we're going to see this year, right? And there's no question about it. The question just is, are they a starter? Are they a starter at the beginning? Are they a starter by the end of the season? And no, I'm not talking about J.J. McCarthy, because that's how we talk about him at the quarterback position. But I am talking about Will Johnson, the highest rated commitment for Michigan in the 2022 class. A guy that was an absolute must get in this particular class. They managed to get him, hold on to him. Would have been tantalizing to see the Will Johnson, Damani Jackson duo. Not happening, of course, but hey, I don't think anyone's going to complain too much if it ends up being Will Johnson on one side and DJ Turner on the other. That's a pretty good duo. And I'm not writing it off, right? Mike Sander still certainly, who we mentioned earlier, has the certainly could be the more of a nickelback type. I know that's where they've tried to use him a lot. He could split out wide. You're looking at Will Johnson as being a typical lockdown guy. So now maybe, like, if there's always a kind of high learning curve, but considering that he came early in the spring, you get a situation where some of that learning curve will be lessened. The schedule, again, will help. Throw him to the Wolves. That's kind of what Michigan should do in general. I feel like in these first three games, throw a lot of guys to the Wolves. You know, give your established guys, you know, maybe like a quarter. And assuming things go the way they should, then just start like seeing what you got. I mean, you got to win games, of course, and you want to win them convincingly. You don't want to struggle. You need to be able to, you know, success breeds success. But it's one of those things where it's like, all right, Jamon Green, go out there, get a quarter under your belt against, you know, Hawaii in week two. And then let's see Will Johnson for the rest of the game or most of the game, right? Because he is the future and he needs to get that acclimation and those types of things. And I think that he's a guy that could really, he'd really benefit from it. And it could really help by the year's end. Here's the thing about the defense as a whole. This defense as a whole could be scary good, like Jim Harbaugh said, by the year's end. There is a lot of potential on this team, and a lot of it is because you've got four-star guys, five-star guys that either haven't played or just haven't really gotten that time going yet. So he's another one, right? And that obviously we haven't seen him yet, but we know he's going to play. Question is, how good is he going to be in year one? It's hard to always really predict a corner being a starter type quality in year one, but it does happen. We just haven't seen it here at Michigan. And Michigan has tended to run, you know, a three corner system. So now we're talking about four different guys between DJ Turner, Jamon Green, Mike Sander-Still, and Will Johnson. So that's already a pretty good base. But there's some other guys that, you know, are probably going to get some opportunities, or at least you hope they do. And the other one that is likely there front of mind, assuming he comes back healthy, is Jaden McBurrows. Jaden McBurrows is a guy that I've been giant on coming out of high school. His offer list tells you everything you need to know. He looked really good in what little we got to see of him last year, but he's been dealing with his injury since before the bowl game. So it's a question of, and like he was mentioned right out of the gates from Steve Klinkscale as being like, he's got a something. He's got an it. Kind of came through and we started talking about him instead of some of the other guys that were established and around. So it's just a matter of him getting healthy. So now you've got five guys at the cornerback position that you feel are super viable. Super viable. And they still have more guys on their roster that certainly could go either way. You've got the freshmen. There's just that outside of Will Johnson, you've got the ones that I mentioned in the last show about that are safeties, you know, that could be safeties. Maybe they're not. Maybe Cody Jones or Zeke Berry, maybe they're corners. Keon Sapp, maybe he plays corner, right? Like these are guys that you could move. So they've got a good situation when it comes to that between the guys that are known commodities or guys that you know are going to take that step, that they're going to be really good, like Will Johnson. Because he's the type of guy where people are saying he's so talented, you cannot keep him off the field in year one. We'll see. That's a hard position group to do that. All right, just like the last one, we're going to keep it short in segment two. We're going to talk about the freshmen and the other names. Because there's a couple other guys that we haven't talked about that are in the secondary, their corners, that we still have to discuss. One is kind of like a use it or lose it type. So we'll get to him and the rest here in just a moment. All right, so getting back to the use it or lose it types, there's kind of two for Michigan at the in the secondary and at corner in particular. We saw one really use it in the spring game. And that's German Green, Jamon's twin brother, who I thought had an awesome spring game. He was one of my, like, oh, well, look at him. He's actually out there making a bunch of plays, having some knockdowns, some bat downs, some of that type of stuff. Now, we don't have, I don't believe we don't have a official stats from the spring game. We did. I never got them. But he was really solid and looked pretty dang good. So I'm really excited to see if he ends up kind of cracking in there. But the one that we haven't really seen is a senior, four star, he's from Georgia, all those types of things that you think would work for him. He was the one that was really kind of getting talked about, I think, more as a recruit than DJ Turner, is Jalen Perry. We've seen him a little bit on special teams. He got a little bit of a go in 2020, and I remember that Wisconsin game. It didn't, if I'm remembering correctly, maybe I'm not, it didn't quite go as well as I had hoped, or anyone had hoped, really. I think that the hope was that he was going to come on a little bit faster, a little bit stronger. He was the sole guy, I think, that was a scout team corner in his freshman year, unlike DJ Turner, who got to go ahead and play on special teams. And I think that that was, from conversations I had back then, it was more because they thought that he was going to be able to come in and contribute faster by doing that rather than being a guy that goes through special teams and, you know, working his way that way. Hasn't really matriculated. It's his senior year. And then it's German Green's fifth year. So this is like their last opportunity, really, especially with some of the other guys around them. So that's those guys. Now, we also have to talk about Miles Pollard, who's a freshman. He was a three-star, I believe, to most, if not all, recruiting services. But again, when you look like Jaden McBurrow's, when you look at the offer sheets, sometimes it's like, okay, what are these people at like 24/7 or on three or rivals? What are they missing? Because there's usually that's a pretty good indicator that they're missing something when they've got the type of offer sheets that they might have. So I'm gonna tell you a little bit about Miles Pollard, who we saw a little bit in the spring game. I don't think he necessarily made didn't make a giant impression on me personally. Maybe I missed something, but let's listen to some of his offers here, because it is a very long list. Auburn, Oklahoma, Alabama, Arkansas, Cincinnati, which I'm going to include as, I mean, they went to the college football playoff, the upper tier group, Florida, Florida State, Kentucky, of course, skipping over a lot of these, Miami, Michigan State, Mississippi State, Mizzou, Ole Miss, Oregon, Penn State, Tennessee, Virginia Tech, Washington, West Virginia, and Wisconsin. Like, that's a pretty impressive offer list, right? those are just some of the 41 reported offers. He's a three-star, 24/7 Sports Composite had him at 600 in the country. Like, how are you going to be 600th, the 600th best player in the country and have that type of offer list? He's a tall, rangy guy, 6'2", 185 pounds, according to Michigan. He would be one that I would say is probably going to be a year away. Because we're talking about a loaded room right now. And at least, like, whereas it kind of feels somewhat weirdly inexperienced, it's not, because we've already mentioned two guys who have been starters. Jamon Green for a couple years, a year and a half. DJ Turner for half a year. Mike Sainer still has been a starter at wide receiver. You probably feel pretty good about him playing on the other side. Will Johnson being a five-star. And then you've got other guys that certainly could be big contributors right out the gate. So I feel pretty good about that. And then you wonder if, like, is Zeke Berry, is he a corner? I mean, he's the one that I feel is, like, probably more the tweener than Cody Jones. Cody Jones kind of screams safety to me, and that's been the case since he committed. But it's interesting. It's an interesting group. It's an interesting room. It's one that I think should be talked about much more highly, considering, again, some of these other schools get talked about their secondary. Michigan is constantly, aside from one year, put out really good secondaries. And it's been very consistent for the Wolverines. Before we close out, I do want to kind of hammer that home here for a moment. So pass defense. So last year, Michigan was 27th in pass defense. Not nearly as good as they've been, but I mean, that's still upper echelon, right? That's still really, really good. When you consider that other teams maybe didn't have that quite as good of a pass defense and still were considered elite. Alabama had the 50th best pass defense in the country. For instance, Michigan's pass defense, as we all know, in 2020 was bad. Was really bad. 90th in the country. Opposite of that. But in 2019, was 10th in the country. 2018 was second. 2017 was first. 2016 was first. 2015 was third. This is a unit that has consistently been good under Jim Harbaugh. And I think just as importantly, if you look at like Steve Klingscale, what he's been able to do at the places that he has gone. Kentucky was middling last 2 years ago in the weird COVID year, 54th. But second in 2019. I believe he was there in 2018 as well. Kentucky was, I just saw it, 18th. So you've got the coach that can do it. You've got the players that certainly can execute it. And I think that you've got a bunch of guys that can really cover very well. And the good news is, compared to the Don Brown years, is you're mixing things. Now, I say that while also acknowledging that Don Brown in 2016 certainly mixed his coverages. But then he, you know, I've talked about it before. This was some knowledge imparted to me. That was something not that I didn't notice on the field, but it was something that was imparted to me by a former player that had pointed out that they were mixing zone and man half field either way against Ohio State in 2016, which is what really confused them. Don Brown has done things that have mixed coverages. It's just that eventually he really relied on man coverage and it didn't always work. You've got an entire group here that is now more used to, after last year's first year of really saying, like, we are going to show you different looks. And let's keep in mind, Jesse Minter, something that obviously I probably should have mentioned up top. Jesse Minter was a defensive backs coach as well with the Baltimore Ravens. So that's his bread and butter, right? Usually you can kind of expect position group, like defensive coordinators and their position groups that they worked with tend to be like the bread and butter, right? Don Brown's was linebacker. Even though, yes, we saw the defensive line do really well. I mean, but Greg Madison was coaching that. That made sense as well. But linebackers played generally really good under Don Brown. Linebackers, I thought, were better than expected with the mixture of George Hilo and Mike McDonald last year. I feel like there's an extra added benefit by having Jesse Minter, a guy who coached the secondary. I believe more safety than corner, but still secondary in the NFL at one of the premier institutions in the NFL. Now being there and able to do that at Michigan, along with the position coaches, along with Steve Klingscale. It's a confluence of coaching, a mixed with players, that makes me believe that this secondary is going to be what leads the defense. Now, don't get me wrong, I think the defensive line can get there, Mike Elston being the teacher he's been. But this is why I feel like the Michigan defense as a whole, this is kind of an overview, is going to be much better than people think, because I have a lot of faith in this back seven. I think that's going to help the front four. On top of the fact that you have Mike Elston, who has an unbelievable track record with the front four, even with guys who are not necessarily the upper echelon names. You have all that work together. You have the different coaches you have that have shown what they are able to do. It feels like this is, and then you have the schedule, which helps them kind of ease into things. They're going to have one offensive group that they're going to, especially the secondary, especially the corners, that they're really going to have to play lights out against in the early going, and that's Maryland, week four. That's probably going to be a little bit of a trouble area, but especially if they can really shut down Maryland, then you're going to feel really good about Penn State, Michigan State, and then subsequently Ohio State. I don't feel like you have to worry about it as much against Iowa. I feel like their passing game is going to attack the linebackers a little bit more than the secondary as it is. But I think that's... Can these guys hang with... That's the most important question. Can these guys hang with Ohio State and their vaunted receiver room? Managed pretty well last year, considering that they still gave up 300-something yards. Managed. We'll see how it goes this year. They've got enough of a learning curve ahead of them as far as the schedule allows. And I think there are enough players who have that experience, mixture of experience and talent, I think will really come through here. All right, that's going to do it for us. We're just going to call it for Sunday. Three podcasts on a Sunday is a lot. Still have to do all the video editing and all that. So thank you for watching and or listening. We'll be back on Monday, at least with the mailbag. Probably a Big Ten Media Days preview as well. Maybe one will be in the morning and one will be in the evening in Indianapolis. We'll see how that goes. But anyway, thank you for watching and or listening. We'll talk to you again soon. Peace.